All right. Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in our series, How to Survive in the Kingdom of God. Today's message is the Law of Christ, Law of Liberty, and the Royal Law. Let's see. It is Sunday, September 26, 2021. And I am Dr. Mary Craig. So let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you, Lord God, for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for his life of radical obedience, perfect personal perpetual obedience as required to fulfill all righteousness. And we thank you, Lord, that he lived that life, that he died to pay the penalty of the law for our sin. He died the death, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day as prophesied. And we thank you, Lord, that Jesus ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of the Almighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ruler over the kings of this earth. And we thank you, Lord, that he is coming again. We thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit. And we ask now that the Holy Spirit come to open the eyes of our minds to comprehend, perceive, and understand, and open the eyes of our hearts to receive what you have for us today. We ask the Holy Spirit to come as a spirit of truth to guide us into what these laws are all about, the laws of the kingdom of God. And we give you the praise and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if we've entered into the kingdom of God, how do we live in that kingdom? What are the rules of that kingdom? How do we get along? Galatians 6, verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Over in Romans 13, verse 8, we read, owe no one anything but to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Present spiritual resurrection comes through identifying with Christ in his resurrection. We have life in Christ and resurrection power now. Sin still dwells within us because it is joined to our flesh. Our flesh is at war with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the law of God written in our minds and on our hearts. The Holy Spirit empowers us for holy living and for effective ministry. Thus, there is an anointing within, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and an anointing without when the Holy Spirit comes on us to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. An example is in Acts 1, verse 8. True believers overcome through faith in vital spiritual union with Jesus Christ. Faith works by love. Love is the keeping of Christ's commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, or whenever you love me, keep my commandments. Evil is overcome within, without, and from above. If we have been delivered from both the penalty and the power of sin, that is, the law of sin and death, set free by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we will overcome. We will persevere because of the preservation of the Holy Spirit. The preserving power of the Holy Spirit keeps us persevering. The one who calls us is faithful, who also will do it. We want to consider, as within, so without. As within, so without. We're going to be working out what God has worked within. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Philippians 2:12-13. Jesus told us that the kingdom of God is within us. Romans 14:17 tells us the kingdom of God is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Peace because we are no longer at war with God, and God is no longer at war with a new person in Christ. Joy because Jesus owns us. That's my little definition of joy. Jesus owns you. It has to do with possession, and he possesses us. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. Righteousness because we have been saved by grace in order to obey through faith, working by love. Jesus made peace through the cross. He enabled reconciliation with God through the offering of himself for sin. This means God's wrath has been propitiated. His hostility against us has been borne by Christ in our place and on our behalf. We are called to terminate our hostility toward God. Jesus made the peace. God initiated the action. Our proper response is to terminate our hostility toward him. We were once enmity toward God, by nature, children of wrath, but in Christ we are called to love God in a demonstration of supreme loyalty and attachment to Jesus, having been saved by grace and given the gift of eternal life in Christ in order that we might obey through faith working by love. We're going to consider the kingdom of God within, and we're going to think about that principle, as within, so without. We will let the Word of God speak and pray that the Holy Spirit works in us to comprehend, perceive, and receive what the Lord has for us. It is the Holy Spirit who convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It is the Holy Spirit who convinces, who converts, and who brings change, who corrects, and who conforms us to the image of Jesus Christ. So first, from Matthew 5:3-10 and verse 28, as I read, just keep thinking of that principle, as within, so without. That is, what God is working in us, we will work that out. But let's also, we want to see, whatever's inside of us will work itself out. Okay, Matthew 5:3-10. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's humility. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall, or the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then verse 28. But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Okay, now here's our principle, as within, so without. Let's look at Matthew 6:22-23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Remember, we've talked about source determines seed and the fruit of that seed. We're talking about the principle today, as within, so without. Now let's listen to Matthew 12:33-37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers. Don't ever think Jesus was some wimp. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And I say to you that every careless word that men and women, boys and girls, shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Then over in Matthew 15, verses 16 to 20, we find, Jesus said, are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Okay, but we do hope everyone will wash their hands. However, okay, Proverbs 23, verses 6 to 8 warns us, do not eat the bread of a selfish man or desire his delicacies, for as he thinks within himself, so is he. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the morsel you have eaten and waste your compliment. Aha, Proverbs 23, 6 to 8. Some say, as a man thinks, so is he. Okay. By the way, there's whole, in counseling, that's what you look at. You look at the thought life, like what are you thinking? Like, for example, if someone's depressed, you notice their words, because when a person is truly depressed, they say, use words like always, never, you know, nothing, no one, like that. And you look at the words and then you line them up. If you're a Christian, you would line them up with the Word of God to see, is that true? Is it true? And then, you know, is that the way you want it to be? And if some things are true, then, you know, is there a willingness to confess and come into agreement with the Word of God and ask God to grant forgiveness and repentance? Because the nice thing is people can change. We can change. We can, by the grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, with these things in mind, let's turn over to the book of James. James is in the New Testament, but it's considered one of the wisdom books because it's very Old Testament in the way that James approaches things. And so some people even call it the Proverbs of the New Testament and consider it wisdom literature. James 1, verse 21, we read this, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. For once he's looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. Over in James 2, verse 8. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors, meaning you've crossed the line. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. And some version says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet offends in even one point, he is guilty of all. In other words, being a lawbreaker, no matter what, a lawbreaker. So, I mean, it puts kind of everybody in the position of lawbreaking, of lawbreaker. What are we going to do about it? For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Then moving to verse 17, even so faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Meaning there's, like, if you believe something, you will obey what you obey. We will obey what we believe. We obey what we believe. And so that's the connection. So James is saying that if we truly believe and we've truly been born out of God, born again, etc., we will obey that. We'll believe it. And we will change. We will submit to being conformed to the image. Just think of more so of a moral image, the image of Jesus Christ. And changes will occur in our lives. R.C. Sproul comments, in James 1, verse 25, the law was called the law of liberty. And we were exhorted to obey it in order to receive blessing. In James 2, verse 8, it is called the royal law. In these two titles, James refers to the whole of the law of God, revealed to Moses and then fulfilled in Christ. Christians do well only if they obey the essence of this law, with a capital L. And that is R.C. Sproul on the royal law. And here's another one, R.C. Sproul quote. When James speaks of the law of liberty, he is speaking of the whole law of God as interpreted by Jesus. Because the ceremonial law has been fulfilled by Christ, we are no longer bound to keep its ceremonies and rituals. However, the law's sum and essence, loving God with all our hearts and loving our neighbor as ourselves, still binds us today. Go to the Lord and ask him to enable you to live faithfully in obedience to his law in Christ. In Christ. That is R.C. Sproul on James 2, verses 10 to 13. Okay. And over in James chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, we read this. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does the fountain send out from the same opening both flesh and both fresh, it's fresh, F-R-E-S-H, and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. And then verse 14 to 18. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthy or earthly, sensual and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace, unquote. Okay, and this is a very short message today, I see. I leave you with this thought. As within, so without, because source determines seed. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot keep the law of God with its standard of perfect personal perpetual obedience. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten, unique Son, that those who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is John 3:16. Jesus fulfilled the royal law. Our obedience gives evidence of our salvation and reconciliation with the living God, who now is Father. Only Jesus saves. Salvation is by faith in the promise, Romans chapter 4. By faith in the promise. It is not through the doing of the law. The law stands there as a standard, but it doesn't go away. It's not like it goes away when we're in Christ. It serves as a mirror and it serves as a guide. It tells us what God thinks, and it tells us a distinction between what is holy and what is not, what is clean and what is unclean. It distinguishes between what is good and what is evil and things like that. So it's going to give us a means by which we can discern what's going on. We use it for discernment. It's a guide, and it's a mirror, and it's kind of a like, are we there yet? And that's why all of it is mocked, and they don't want it in our public schools and things like that, because it is a mirror and it is a reminder. And the law is basically for the unbelievers and the unrighteous, because when God turns our hearts and changes our hearts, we want to please God. We want to do what is right in his eyes. And God helps us by giving us wisdom and discernment and different gifts that help us to live a godly life. We are called to be holy as God is holy. Okay. So only Jesus saves. And we're talking about the promise. Alongside the law ran the promise. The promise was always there, starting in Genesis 3:15. The law, the promise was always there that a Savior would be born, that there was someone coming, that two seeds, as it were, would grow up, the those of Jesus Christ and those of the devil. We don't know whose is what or which ones belong to whom. And that's why we always give this gospel with as much clarity as possible. And we keep giving it because healing is in the atoning work of Jesus Christ. It's an outcome of that work. And so we want to have a very clear gospel message. And we need to hear it over and over, because the world isn't telling us this, and many churches aren't telling us either. They're not giving the gospel. Many of them are just trying to raise money, saying they're going to go give the gospel. But we need the actual gospel. So if it seems like I do this week after week after week, yes, I do. I do it week after week after week for a reason, because we all need to hear it until the basics are just really deep down inside where we live. Inside. The Word of God has to get inside, as I say, deep down where we live. And we are not as those who have no hope. We are not as those who have no hope. Romans 5:5 in the King James says, "And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Today we would probably use the word Holy Spirit, same thing. "And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us." So let's pray. Father God, we give you praise and we give you glory. We thank you, Lord, because the law is the law of liberty, in that when Jesus Christ sets us free from the law of sin and death, we are free from the penalty and the power of sin. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Before, nothing we did pleased God. Nothing could please you, Lord God. Nothing. We were in the totally corrupt club, and we were not able to do it. We might reform, but we couldn't be transformed. Only the Holy Spirit gives life, the eternal life. He is the life maker. And so, God, we thank you and we give you praise. And so we ask, Lord, that people will come to Jesus Christ, and in doing that, receive freedom from the law of sin and death, and know, and now be able to see the law of liberty, that this same law that condemned us is now a law of liberty, showing us the demands, the commandments, "Thou shalt have no other God before you," now become promises. "You will not have any other gods before the Lord." Nothing else will come between us and the Lord. Nothing and no one. And so all of these things become promises, and we thank God for that. We will love God and love our neighbor. Now we don't have that perfectly. We won't have that till we physically die and are glorified. And so that's why Paul has this great struggle in Romans 7. Lord God, we thank you that Paul shared what he shared in Romans 6, 7, and 8. We thank you, Lord. We thank you and praise you. Help us to understand that when we are set free, we are free indeed. We are free to love. We are free to live, and we will survive in the kingdom of God by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And now if you please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."